By far my best time at the hotel was when I went to help the waiter on the fourth floor. We worked in a small pantry which communicated with the cafeteria by service lifts. It was delightfully cool after the cellars, and the work was chiefly polishing silver and glasses, which is a humane job. Valenti, the waiter, was a decent sort, and treated me almost as an equal when we were alone, though he had to speak roughly when there was anyone else present, for it does not do for a waiter to be friendly with plongeurs. He used sometimes to tip me 5 francs when he had had a good day. He was a comely youth, aged 24, but looking 18, and like most waiters, he carried himself well and knew how to wear his clothes. With his black tailcoat and white tie, fresh face and sleek brown hair, he looked just like an Eton boy. Yet he had earned his living since he was 12, and worked his way up literally from the gutter. Crossing the Italian frontier without a passport, and selling chestnuts from a barrow on the northern boulevards, and being given 50 days imprisonment in London for working without a permit, and being made love to by a rich old woman in a hotel who gave him a diamond ring and afterwards accused him of stealing it, were among his experiences. I used to enjoy talking to him at slack times when we sat smoking down the lift shaft. My bad day was when I washed up for the dining room. I had not to wash the plates, which were done in the kitchen, but only the other crockery, silver, knives and glasses. Yet even so, it meant 13 hours' work, and I used between 30 and 40 dishcloths during the day. The antiquated methods used in France double the work of washing up. Plate racks are unheard of, and there are no soap flakes, only the treacly soft soap, which refuses to lather in the hard Paris water. I worked in a dirty, crowded little den, a pantry and scullery combined, which gave straight on the dining room. Besides washing up, I had to fetch the waiters' food and serve them at table. Most of them were intolerably insolent, and I had to use my fists more than once to get common civility. The person who normally washed up was a woman, and they made her life a misery. It was amusing to look round the filthy little scullery and think that only a double door was between us and the dining room. There sat the customers in all their splendour, spotless tablecloths, bowls of flowers, mirrors and gilt cornices and painted cherubim, and here, just a few feet away, we in our disgusting filth. For it really was disgusting filth. There was no time to sweep the floor till evening, and we slithered about in a compound of soapy water, lettuce leaves, torn paper, and trampled food. 12 waiters with their coats off, showing their sweaty armpits, sat at the table mixing salads and sticking their thumbs into the cream pots. The room had a dirty, mixed smell of food and sweat. Everywhere in the cupboards, behind the piles of crockery, were squalid stores of food that the waiters had stolen. There were only 2 sinks and no washing basin, and it was nothing unusual for a waiter to wash his face in the water in which clean crockery was rinsing. But the customers saw nothing of this. There were a coconut mat and a mirror outside the dining room door, and the waiters used to preen themselves up and go in looking the picture of cleanliness. It is an instructive sight to see a waiter going into a hotel dining room. As he passes the door, a sudden change comes over him. The set of his shoulders alters. All the dirt and hurry and irritation have dropped off in an instant. He glides over the carpet with a solemn, priest-like air. I remember our assistant maitre d'hôtel, a fiery Italian, pausing at the dining-room door to address an apprentice who had broken a bottle of wine. Shaking his fist above his head, he yelled, luckily the door was more or less soundproof, "To me fish ye! You call yourself a waiter, you young bastard! You a waiter! You're not fit to scrub floors in the brothel your mother came from, mackerel!" Words failing him, he turned to the door, and as he opened it, he farted loudly, a favourite Italian insult. Then he entered the dining room and sailed across it, dish in hand, graceful as a swan. 10 seconds later he was bowing reverently to a customer. And you could not help thinking, as you saw him bow and smile with that benign smile of the trained waiter, that the customer was put to shame by having such an aristocrat to serve him. This washing up was a thoroughly odious job, not hard, but boring and silly beyond words. It is dreadful to think that some people spend whole decades at such occupations. The woman whom I replaced was quite 60 years old, and she stood at the sink 13 hours a day, 6 days a week, the year round. She was, in addition, horribly bullied by the waiters. She gave out that she had once been an actress, actually, I imagine, a prostitute. Most prostitutes end as charwomen. It was strange to see that in spite of her age and her life, she still wore a bright blonde wig and darkened her eyes and painted her face like a girl of 20. So apparently, even a 78-hour week can leave one with some vitality.